Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always a lot to say with no shame. Monday, March 1st, 2021. Can't believe it's March 1st already. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Got some company coming through today as well. The usual NBA phenom, Rich Hot Takes Letty coming through, and I got a few topics to get through with my man Rich. A couple other solo rips to get through, and looking forward to doing some indoor golfing later on with my brother and Dukes, the Mead with the Meanest Takes, his brother Smikes, sending off the off season for me as I'm heading back to work, and then tomorrow, hopefully, enjoying my last day, doing a few things with a few people that I enjoy spending time with. Looking forward to hopefully getting Chew over. So it's been good. The podcast has been great. Obviously, all the support has been very much appreciated, and I got some stickers coming through hopefully this week, as I mentioned, for anybody that wants one. Appreciate all love and support shown for all the platforms, obviously out on Instagram, Twitter, where I got a nice shout out today from Jay Will, which was pretty sweet. Also on Twitch, my live stream there, my podcast, it's _Seggy_G. You can follow along there, listen there. Also out on Spotify, and I did renew my Podbean subscription, the original platform where all my podcast episodes can be found, over 150 of them. So I did activate that for one more year at least, where I will be posting the recordings there as well. Hoping to get a few more people here on the podcast over the next month as I go back to like a weekly format. Don't miss me too much. Appreciate all love and support as always, as I mention it. I'm looking forward to getting into it with Rich today. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Looking forward to getting into it with Rich as always, my dude. Bringing in the NBA takes with the Heat for real. And I got a couple things to definitely get into with Rich today. I did see yesterday was the first Sunday on the PGA Tour after the incident with Tiger Woods. And you saw a lot of tributes from guys on tour in which they wore the vintage Tiger red, which I thought was obviously great to see. Obviously a tough week for us Tiger fans last week, and just seeing Tiger, at least in good spirits, tweeting out on his social media or whatever it is, saying how he's grateful to see that and doesn't really have words for what the tour players did, and also the support from the fans. You know, it's just the least we can do for you, Tiger. As I said earlier in the week, a golf guy like me getting ready to go back to golf just this week, being in the golf business and thriving off it basically because of my dad. I'd also give a lot of that tribute, and a lot of the tribute that you see on the PGA Tour as well, these young guys on the tour, particularly Colin Morikawa, who won the event, joining Tiger Woods as the only players before turning 25 to win at the WGC, which is what Colin won this weekend yesterday before the age of 25, and a major, him and Tiger Woods. He's just paved the way for so many people, not only myself, but other individuals on the tour, obviously, in the golf landscape. And obviously seeing that story on Tiger Woods this past week was heartbreaking to see. Shout out to Colin Morikawa, who claims his fourth win on the tour, as I mentioned, and that's the most by anyone under the age of 25 on tour. Young stud out on tour with a lot of talent on tour, obviously, for us golf fans. And I did also see that Brandon Grace won the Puerto Rico Open. It was his first win on tour since 2016, only his second PGA Tour victory. So shout out to Brandon Grace for getting over the hump there. Rich is here. Need to talk about celebrating women, but we'll do that at some point. Celebrating Women Month here. We should do that always. Black History Month that we just celebrated always. We should always do. After just seeing, I think I just saw yesterday, got in my reads, was it Irv Cross passed away yesterday, who was the first black full-time analyst, Pro Bowl Hall of Famer, formerly, obviously, and then was big into the sports analysts and all that that provided. I'm getting into a tangent here. Anyways, I was on a real high note. Rich is here. Just real quick, Rich, I know you saw, I think you saw because you hit me up on it. How sick was that, bro? So I did my normal thing that I normal do, which wake up mad early in the morning. And I got my show that comes on at 6 in the morning, which is good because I get up mad early. I need something to watch if I'm up early, right? Keyshawn, J. Will with Zubin, always checking in. I watched the show a ton, so I know what's going on with J. Will. Like, I know why he's not there, but, like, I finally saw him at the studio today for the first time in a long time. I mean, it's been at least a couple months. And I just thought it was sweet. It was good to see him. And, you know, I knew the situation that he was dealing with because his daughter is immune suppressive, and that's why he was kind of able to stay at home, and ESPN was catering to that, and I thought that was good as well. But just good to see the fellas, as Zubin would say, all back together, and I just shouted him out real quick, and it was just good to see him shout me back out, which is sweet. I think that's the one thing that I've learned and grown to love about doing this whole podcast setup, because all my personal accounts are private, all my podcasts are public, and I'm able to reach out, and it actually gets, like, seen and sometimes responded. I've gotten a few likes. I've gotten a couple retweets from Golick, and now J-Will.
You should pin that tweet at the top of your profile. You can, like, pin tweets, so it's the one that shows at the top. You should pin that at the top of your profile. That's dope.
Yeah, it was fire. I mean, he just shot me out. It was cool to see him back there, and I'm glad everything's well with him. Yeah. Just a good start to the day.
J-Will's a good dude. I don't watch it much. I don't wake up, not even much. I literally never watch J-Will and Zubin just because I don't wake up that early. But J-Will's a good dude. I used to like listening to him on – I just haven't been watching much ESPN lately. I'm just in the routine of my work from home where, like, I listen to my same, like, NBA podcasts and stuff like that. I really basically stopped watching ESPN, maybe some First Take clips here and there. But, like, I like J-Will. He's one of the dudes I like on ESPN, so –
Yeah, J-Will is real as hell, and my brother's like, damn, that's pretty sweet, and I'm like, yeah, because he was like, you didn't do that. I don't know, it's just cool. Like, J-Will's real. A couple other people have done it, too.
J-Will should have been an absolute stud in the NBA. Got hurt on a motorcycle, but yeah, pretty dope.
Yep, crazy. All comes full circle when I'm talking about Tiger right before you got here as well. Yeah. Did want to get into some NBA, though, so I got the bell going. First topic of the day is this. I don't know if you saw this, Rich, but I love this. We talked about it yesterday. And this is, like, kind of weird for me. So, I'm saying Obi Toppin 100% is going to win the dunk contest, right? And then literally, like, 2 hours after we got off, I saw a report that Portland Trailblazers, Anthony Simons, and Indiana's Cassius Stanley will participate in the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. Good for them, but great for me. Obi's going to win this fucking thing. Unless Zion gets in there, I don't see Anthony Simons or Cassius... Is he really? What's up?
It's all about, for me, it's like the guys who, like, look cooler when they're dunking. And he's, like, not Nate Robinson short, but he's, like, got the hops. Like, trust me, look up a video of him dunking. He only plays, like, 10 minutes a night, and if you watch him, you're like, oh, he's like a point guard shooter kind of thing. Dude gets up. He's just, the thing that he's got that makes me like him is when he throws down any dunk, it looks cooler than Obi Toppin throwing down that same dunk because he's just so much shorter. It's like you dunking versus Colin O'Brien dunking. I'd rather watch you dunk because, like, you know, in high school, we're all like, oh, Colin could dunk. When a short dude dunks, it's like, holy shit, he just got up so high. So it's like, I think it's a little bit more that hard to win a dunk contest is like Dwight Howard. Not that Obi's that tall, but, like, it's tough for the tall guys. You got to make the dunks look even cooler because they look so easy.
Fair, but I will say I think Obi Toppin does have some flair to him. I don't expect him to not bring that flair if he's participating in the dunk contest. And maybe I'm sleeping on Anthony Simons. I'll have to get off and check up his mic tapes. But I guess I can agree with your sense in that take. But you got Anthony Simons winning the dunk contest?
I think Obi Toppin is the best dunker in the dunk contest, but I think Ant Simons will have, like, cooler dunk contest dunks just because he's got, like, hops and is a short dude.
Who is Cassius Stanley? A rookie?
To be honest, for a minute when you said it at first, I thought he was the dude from Michigan State at the point guard, and I was like, what? He's so small, and I think that's Cassius Winston, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think he's on the Wizards as a backup. Honestly, I'm looking it up now. I have zero clue who Cassius Stanley is.
And how many dudes participate? Four? So are we just waiting for one more name drop? Hopefully Zion?
He's from Duke. He plays for the Pacers. I'd be shocked if he even gets minutes. Yeah, he's played 8 games this year for the Pacers. He averages 2 minutes a game. So yeah, he's kind of a bench warmer, but I'm sure he's got hops.
Oh, man. That's absolutely crazy.
I mean, that's kind of what I expected this year, though. Because, like, dudes don't even want to participate in the All-Star game, it sounds like. It's so hard to get – it's hard to get good dudes regularly in the dunk contest. Like, no way you're getting Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon and stuff like that this year. Dudes are like, nah, no thanks. So I kind of figured this would be the case. Like, a bunch of guys who are, like, trying to make a name for themselves using this to, like, get themselves – I mean, that's
– I like it. Like, I like it.
Obi Toppin's going to be the biggest name in there, but even still, he's only, like, a 12-minutes-a-night guy right now.
Nah, I love it. I love it. And what the Knicks are doing right now, I love even more. Another win last night. Yep. Firmly above 500 right now, March 1st. Just incredible. Their best start since 2012-2013, where they made the playoffs, the last time they made the playoffs. Just incredible stuff to see from the Knicks, who are continuing to play well. Yeah, so there was a couple games I wanted to get into for sure that happened last night, because there were a couple wild games. But before we did that, and the bell's going to go off here in a second, I did want to get into... this take that I heard, a few takes Jay Will given this morning, a few things that have been surfacing on the airwaves, one in particular, Julius Randle. So, first question I have to ask you about Julius Randle, and obviously what the Knicks are doing is incredible, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the pod, so if you want to listen to it, go check it out from yesterday. Julius Randle, is he playing the best in a year in his entire, like, is he having the best year in his entire career this year right now? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's even close.
Okay, yeah.
The only thing even close would be, like, maybe his 1 year with the Pelicans was the second best, but it wouldn't be last year with the Knicks, and this is way better.
Yeah,
sure.
I agree. Okay, so putting that into context, they're comparing this man, one of this report. I don't know exactly. You could probably look it up.
I already know where this is going.
They're comparing him to Chris Bosh. And Chris Bosh is a lefty. Chris Bosh is an incredible, obviously, NBA player who – got out of the league for medical reasons early, but he was a force to be reckoned with back in the day. Not only with the Toronto Raptors, but obviously with the Heat when he was teamed up with D-Wade and LeBron. Two-time NBA champion, 11-time All-Star, retired number one jersey by the Heat, 2008 Olympic gold medalist. I mean, this dude's got an elite career. I'm not knocking what Julius Randle's doing at all. I believe he should be an All-Star starter in this league. But I do then get into this whole thing where you've said it to me so many times, this whole recency bias thing that you have where you just see something and you're like instantly able to throw things over the top without really able to look at the whole aspect of the picture. Like you said, how many years has Julius Randle been in the league? Probably at least 3, 4, 5 years. So I get it. Maybe he's going to be on this trend going forward and he'll be a great piece to build around and maybe bring guys into New York going forward, which I think is a great thing for the Knicks. But I'm not going to say he's better than Chris Bosh. Are you? Are you going to say he's better than Chris Bosh in his prime?
No. So it's tough. I think it's hard when any time you say a name like that, like a Hall of Famer type name, because it's so hard to distinguish like 1 year of their career, because we naturally think about like their whole sample size and what they've done. I think there's a very legitimate argument to say like Julius Randle right now, Chris Bosh in the best year of his career, who's better, and argue those two. Julius Randle has had nowhere near the careers Chris Bosh. He's been nowhere near the all-time player, nowhere near as good of a player overall.
Yeah, I agree. And taking that out of it, like, would you still go with Chris Bosh? Are you arguing that Julius Randle is actually playing better right now? Because the numbers are pretty comparable, and what Julius Randle is carrying a team, not really with other guys, obviously superstars, like I mentioned, D-Wade, LeBron James. He did do it in Toronto on his own, obviously, as I mentioned. But I think right now, go ahead.
So the best year of Chris Bosh's career, I'm pulling up everything to look right now and give it my best take here. The best year of Chris Bosh's career, stats-wise, was 2010. The Raptors missed the playoffs in the Eastern Conference with, like, a decent team. Chris Bosh averaged 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. So, to me, if you're counting that year as his prime, like, if you want to argue that his prime was in Miami, which it was, like, the prime years of his career were in Miami, but his prime numbers-wise were not in Miami, like, I have no idea how to compare right now Julius Randle to third-option Chris Bosh in Miami. Like, I don't even know how to compare those two things, so I'm just not going to. I'm just going to look at his years in Toronto because I think that's what's the most comparable to the Knicks. I think Julius Randle's, if assuming the Knicks make the playoffs, probably has a better season this year than Chris Bosh did. And to me, it's as simple as, like, Chris Bosh could block shots, but he wasn't a great defender, neither is Julius Randle. They're both pretty good on offense, and the main difference to me is Julius Randle's facilitating more than Chris Bosh ever did. Chris Bosh was a great number one option, like, was in that amazing 2003 draft class, like, an all-time great player, but, like, the Knicks run more of their offense through Julius Randle, and right now the Knicks are going to be, it looks like at least, a playoff team, which the Raptors weren't when the whole offense ran through Chris Bosh. Like, I think it's crazy to say that, like, Julius Randle's a better player than Chris Bosh, because when you say that line, everyone, like, even my head naturally is like, no, he's not. It's not even close. But if you're just looking at their one, like, prime year of their career so far, you want to compare 2010 for Bosh to 2020 for Julius Randle, 2021, I think I could give the nod to Randle, not by much, but maybe like 55-45. And really, the deciding factor for me is Randle's team's probably going to make the playoffs in an equally weak Eastern Conference. It was weak back then, too, and the Raptors ended up being the 9 seed with Bosh, and he's just running more of the offense through him. So I think it sounds crazy on the surface, but if you break it down specifically to 1 year and look at what each player's doing, I've never been the biggest Julius Randle fan, but I do think there's a very legit argument that he's having a better all-time season than Chris Bosh ever had. The tough part is, I think Bosh is a much better third option on a team than Julius Randle. So Chris Bosh is a better overall player than Julius Randle is to me. But if you're just arguing number one option in the prime of their career, Raptors versus Knicks, I think Julius Randle might be having the better season. But I think Chris Bosh is the better overall NBA player still.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if you want to win a championship with him as like a third option. Like, Julius Randle wouldn't fill that role as well.
I like that take. That's why I bring you around. Much love for coming around. Let's get into this. This is another topic I saw this morning as well. It had Jay Will fired up, and I kind of agree and couldn't agree with him more. I've been seeing a lot of Luka Doncic, which, by the way, he just celebrated his 22nd birthday yesterday. I did a podcast and didn't do birthdays because Chewy was here. He's a two-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA First Team Rookie of the Year, All-First Team Rookie of the Year, one of two players in NBA history with 4,000 points and 1,000 assists before turning 22 is Luka Doncic, as well as the fact that he has 32 triple-doubles before turning 22. That's more than twice as many as any other player before turning 22 in the NBA. Magic Johnson has the second most with 13. I think Luka Doncic is comparable to Magic Johnson, to guys like LBJ, to guys in this factor where maybe he's not white that I'm going to compare him to. And I saw that J. Will was talking about this, and Luka Doncic in this reported report was being compared to Larry Bird. Strictly probably because he's white. And I do think we see this a little bit in the NBA. We definitely see this in the NFL. Because when you see an all-time slot receiver, who's he compared to? Welker, fucking, you know, Julian Edelman. Like, all the same guys. Like, he can't be compared to Antonio Brown. He can't be compared to somebody else that's not white. I think it's a very valid point. And I think in today's day and age where we've been talking about this more than ever, like, comparing guys with different skin colors is okay. And I think that should be announced as okay, particularly when we're talking sports all the time and not looked at as like, oh my God, dude, what? You're comparing a white dude to a black dude? Like, what? Like, really? Like, dude, I'm comparing their games. Like, I don't understand why this is even a topic, but I did need to bring it up and see what you thought. Does Luka Doncic's game even remind you of Larry Bird? Like, I've never watched enough Larry Bird, but like, I don't know. I think Luka would be more of a Magic type to me if you're going to go to that era. And now I compare him to LeBron, not necessarily in the athleticism sense, but in the, what he does, I think is comparable at his age. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just think it's an interesting topic. You got any comment on it?
I mean, admittedly, I haven't watched enough Larry Bird to take a hard stance on, like, oh, it's exactly like that, or it's nothing like that. But the one thing I get is that taking over the league from a young age without athleticism, and you're just kind of looking at him like, yo, how is he doing these guys like this without being quicker than them, without being strong? I mean, he is stronger than a lot of them, but, like, without any of maybe the physical attributes that some guys normally have, like a Russell Westbrook, a LeBron, like, it's guys like Luka, Harden, they don't have those things, but they still kind of, like, they slow people down with their games and still get by them. So it's an impressive thing to watch. And I guess in that sense, maybe a little Bird-esque because he's not beating you with his athleticism, which is a pretty white thing because usually the white players aren't relying on athleticism. So, but, like, I'm with you. It's usually, like, it's the same. Yeah, I think it's the same comparisons. You see it especially in football, as you mentioned, with quarterbacks, a black quarterback. They'll just get comparisons to, like, Michael Vick, other black quarterbacks, Cam Newton. So I think you're right. I think there are better comparisons. I think you could argue even Magic Johnson is a better comparison, honestly, for his game style. But I think it's so hard to compare any players nowadays to players from way back because So when you're talking about a star player, like, you can really only compare him to either Magic, Bird, or LeBron. Or, sorry, Magic, Bird, or MJ, if you're talking about old players. It's like, players aren't comparable to, like, Wilt and Kareem and Shaq. Like, those guys don't really exist anymore. So if you're trying to compare a star player, it's literally Magic, Bird, or Michael Jordan, because there weren't, like, not the players back then weren't great, but so many great players were big guys, and those were the three great, like, do-it-all, like, wing point guard type guys. So, like, I don't think the comparison's perfect, but I don't know if there is a better comparison. Maybe Magic, but, like, it is tough to make that comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you saw this, and Luka had his, like, 1v1 card or whatever it is go for $4.6 million it sold for. Like, I like collecting, like, sports memorabilia, and I'll pick up some cards, but $4.6 million for,
that's absolutely outrageous. That might be a record for basketball. I know one of the
ones
ever is Mike Trout sold last August for $4 million, his rookie card. And I wouldn't have expected a Luka to go higher than that already, but that's crazy.
Crazy.
Basketball card market's crazy right now. It's higher than baseball.
Crazy. I did want to get into a couple of the games last night and a couple of the takes on it. So the Hornets, they won a game last night. PJ Washington went for like 43, I think. LaMelo had a solid game. The Kings absolutely blew it, though. They're up 8 with a minute to go, and you end up losing the game. And in that game, Buddy Hield becomes the fastest player in NBA history to hit 1,000 threes. 350 games. It took him, Rich, faster than Steph Curry, who did it in 369. Faster than Klay Thompson, who did it in 372. Faster than Dame Lillard, who I've been hyping up a bunch, who did it in 385.
Ooh, I'm trying to think of who the next young guy to beat that is, who takes a lot of threes right now.
My question to you, Rich, is Buddy Hield not up there and should be up there more as one of the best shooters we've ever seen? I mean, I know he's won a three-point contest. Just mentioned the stat there. The Kings lose the game against the Hornets, who I think, and I was talking with Duke about it, I think the Hornets are legit. Like, I think the Hornets are a legit team. So, no knocking that. The Kings just been tough after really bouncing back and now really falling back to earth, realistically, just in terms of where they're at in the West. But is Buddy Hield, like, a better shooter than Steph Curry? And, like, we just, like,
No.
One of these fluky stats that we're just like, oh, damn, like.
It's not fluky. It's the kind of shots they're taking. Steph Curry is taking, like, the hardest possible three-point shots because everyone's guarding him, making him shoot from way further out, so he's going to shoot a worse percentage. If Steph Curry was taking Buddy Hield, Duncan Robinson threes, Steph Curry would be shooting well over 50% from three. Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, James Harden, Luka isn't as good of a shooter as those guys, but even Luka take these, like, high degree of difficulty shots because they're being so like double team guarded by the defense, being pressured by the team's best defender. Whereas guys like Buddy Hield, Duncan Robinson, kind of like the secondary, like, spot up shooters on a team, are getting, like, the results of the offense moving around and them getting an open shot. Buddy Hield is a great shooter. He could be even better on a better team that's not coached by now the worst coach in the league, Luke Walton, now that Saunders is no longer a coach. Buddy Hield's a great shooter. He could be great for a championship team as, like, a floor spacer. I wouldn't even surprise me to see him number one in three-point percentage in a year in the league. But he's not the best shooter in the league because his shots are a product of the offense, not him going out there creating a shot. If Buddy Hield was shooting contested threes like Steph and Dame Lillard, he'd be shooting, like, 24%, I bet.
Good point. Really love that point there. Shout out Malik Monk, though, with the game winner. The Warriors are in the conversation, and it's mainly, in my opinion, because of Draymond Green, the way he's playing. I mean, he's got more assists than points in 22 of his 29 games played this year. I mean, this dude's incredible. He's right up there in the league leading in assists. Obviously, we know what Steph Curry's doing, but I saw a thing where, like, imagine if Klay Thompson was here, which he was supposed to be. Shit, the Warriors would be up there, I think, battling for a top three seed in this Western Conference. Mainly because of the way Draymond Green's been looking and the way Steph Curry's been playing. Two things I really didn't think were going to happen, so I was certainly wrong about there. Just real quick, any comment on what the Warriors are doing, Rich?
They'd be looking really good because they also got off to a start. Kelly Oubre could not hit the broadside of a barn to start the year. He was shooting like 18% three. That is awful. And that's kind of like the law of averages. Everything evens out. Then over like a 3-week span, he was shooting like 65% from three after that. So it's kind of like what goes up must come down. Like when a guy's a decent shooter shooting that cold, he'll turn around and have a hot streak eventually, which is what he did. I mean, you got to imagine if Klay Thompson's there to start the year, Kelly Oubre is not as cold because he's not forced into such a high usage role on a new team, and they're probably playing even better. So yeah, I will not necessarily take the L, but I guess sort of take the L on the Warriors, because I was, even with Klay Thompson there, I didn't think they'd be like a top 2-3 seed, and I think at this point you could say they definitely would be if he was there, or at least a very good chance. And even without him, I thought they'd be not even a playoff team, and it looks like at the very least they'll be like a 5-6-7-8 seed, like in the playoffs. So I was definitely wrong about that one.
Yeah, agreed. I was certainly wrong as well. It's nice to see Steph Curry and the Warriors competing out there in the West. I did want to touch on this team in the West, Rich. I think this is a good one because I don't know if you saw this. Victor Oladipo, he recently turned down a 2-year, $45.2 million contract extension last night. The most a franchise was eligible to offer him at this time. He's probably looking for long-term more money. But also, Houston got blown out last night. Memphis's bench scored 85 points. The Houston Rockets scored 84 points. That's absolutely crazy. Also, just need to say something real quick, Rich. Yeah. We've talked plenty of times, and I gave you the floor to be able to come in and say, as a Knicks fan, talking about the whole Kristaps winning the trade there and all that deal. Yeah. The whole thing we covered on the pod was this whole deal with John Wall and Russell Westbrook. And let me just be clear. I like John Wall. I'm a John Wall guy. But I'm a way bigger Russ guy. Russ, the Wizards have clearly won this trade. John Wall, the other night, he was 14 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 3-point made, 4 of 16 field goals. He's the first player with a 10-0-0-0-0-0 stat line on 25% shooting or worse since J.R. Smith in 2012, our boy J.R. Wall is the first starter to do so since 1985. People are always shitting on my guy, Russ, but he has the Wizards back up playing better in contention when everybody thought they were done. And in my opinion, Russ just wasn't healthy to start the year. COVID protocols, not as much practice time in the NBA, giving these times a little bit players to get together with the Wizards. I mean, it's a clear winner right now for me. The Wizards, John Wall, not really looking as good for the Houston Rockets and what they got going on out there. What do you agree with this take or what? What's good here?
Yeah, I mean, my take's been consistent the whole time. I think if you want to say, like, which team got better from that trade, it's the Wizards, because Russell Westbrook's a better player than John Wall right now, even though I thought John Wall was getting a little overhated on. And I think if you switch John Wall and Russell Westbrook right now, I don't think things are too different. I think John Wall can do a lot of what Russell Westbrook's still doing, just the Rockets without Christian Wood are helpless, and the Wizards do have Bradley Beal, who's the best scorer in the league right now. So, like, Russ is the better player, absolutely. The Wizards got better from that trade. However, I think there's a reasonable take to say the Rockets still won that trade, even though the Wizards got better, because the Rockets got a pick back in a trade, and I don't think either the Wizards or the Rockets are competing for anything with either of those two guys on their team. So I agree the Wizards got better. The Rockets don't have their pick this year. The Rockets have none of their picks from the Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook trade. The Rockets are just, they're not even tanking. They just suck. They get nothing out of tanking this year. They're just really bad. So the Wizards are probably still in a better spot. I'd say the Rockets won the trade simply because neither team's winning a ring with these guys, and at least the Rockets got a pick, but I don't have a hard stance. The Wizards are definitely better. Russell Westbrook's the better player.
Most games with 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists in the last 40 seasons, Rich. LeBron James, 113. Karl Malone, 95. Russell Westbrook, 84. Larry Bird, we are talking about him today, 81. Charles Barkley, 71. Giannis, your boy, 61. Tied with Michael Jordan, 61. If you just go back and listen to that and just tell me right now, LeBron James is not the GOAT, and Russell Westbrook is not absolutely hated on. I'm just going to leave it at that. Real quick, though, Rich, did want to touch on this as well. Let me just make sure I still had it, because you did mention it during your take there, and that's why I got all happy-go-lucky. You probably could see it if you're watching on the Twitch. What this is, Rich, is my notes heading back to this past NBA draft. I found this the other day on the ground as I was going through some of my notes trying to get rid of some, because my room is a fucking disaster with notes as a podcast fucking whatever I am, gas bagger. Here's the thing, Rich. I think this is interesting because you said they got back a pick. And I think the drafts are fun because we all talk about them, right? NFL draft coming up. A lot of rumors, a lot of speculation, a lot of bullshit, mock drafts, similar to the NBA. We all talk about it. Things happen. Then everything breaks out. Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, probably a good pick. T-Wolves just suck. James Wiseman, probably a good pick, but definitely slid a little bit, obviously, in the rookie ladder. We'll see what happens going with the Warriors with him going forward. LaMelo Ball, clear stud. Patrick Williams, my guy, who's really done nothing but play a good amount of minutes and make a three-quarter court shot that I covered here on the podcast. Other than that, Rich, Isaac Okoro, he's had some minutes with the Cavs. Okongwu, who's with the Hawks, is he playing? I don't think so. Clint Capella's going off.
He played like maybe 10 minutes.
Killian Hayes with the Pistons, like he was playing a good amount and got injured. I covered that. Yep. Obi Toppin wasn't playing a good amount. We covered him a bit. Danny Avdia, mentioned him with the COVID protocols and the Wizards. He's coming on a little bit. Jalen Smith, a guy I talked about with the Suns. Has he played a minute for them? Now I'm getting after
honestly,
nine deep.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm after nine deep, which is my point here, Rich. 10, Jalen Smith with the Suns. Devin Vassell with the Spurs. Who is that? Halliburton. Halliburton,
Devin
we've covered. Kira Lewis Jr. with the Pels. Aaron Naismith with the Celtics. Cole Anthony with the Magic. We've been seeing him a little bit. My point is, Rich, you get after 9. You get after 20, God forbid, when I get on the backside of this. Bro, none of these guys don't really impact, particularly year one. If so, the percentage of it is really low, as we see LaMelo, Ant-Man, that's about it. Maybe a few guys like you mentioned. But seriously, what's the deal with that? Like, we hype up the draft, and I'm doing the same thing thinking about the NFL. A lot of these guys end up being misses. Isn't that more often to be the case than not?
Of course. I will say, going through, I'm just like starting at the back end of the draft and trying to see what names have been good, and there's not much in the second round. I will say Saben Lee for the Pistons has had a great few games with DeLon Wright out. Not much, though. Emmanuel Quickly, the 25th pick for the Knicks, great pick. Peyton Pritchard, 26th pick, has been playing a lot of minutes for the Celtics, playing well. Zeke Nnaji, the 22nd pick, center for the Nuggets, has been playing some minutes. Precious Achiuwa, the 20th pick for the Heat. So, like, they're, like, role-player guys for the most part. Like, I would say the only person on this entire list – actually, I would say there are – I would say three guys that are helping contribute to winning. 2.5. 1, LaMelo Ball, my rookie of the year pick. 2, Patrick Williams, your rookie of the year pick. And I would put my half at Isaac Okoro, who's playing like 35 minutes a night for the Cavs. His stats won't blow you away, but he's like a defender guy. Like, he'll put up like some basic stats. But like, I would say those are the three guys contributing to winning at this point.
Don't sleep on my guy Patrick Williams, yo. The Bulls, and check out those Eastern Conference standings, bro. That shit is study, bro. That is nice as an NBA fan. The standings
also,
and conference.
Sadiq Bey, the Pistons power forward.
Yep.
He's playing a lot. He was the 19th pick. I would say he might be like fourth. I forgot Halliburton. Halliburton's up there number 2, like behind LaMelo Ball. But like, yeah, I'd say there's like 4 guys or so that are like contributing to winning at this point. Wiseman hasn't been much, but we knew going in they were just drafting for fit. Warriors needed a center, and he was going to be a little raw since he didn't play college ball really at all. Anthony Edwards, I don't blame him. The Timberwolves are just disgusting. This is another topic for another day, but the Timberwolves should just trade Karl Anthony Towns. Just get everything. just get everything you could get for it. It's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work there with whatever they got going. Like, I hate to, like, not that I think a team should always be rebuilding, but, like, it's clearly not working with Towns. The dude's had, like, the worst year of his life. Like, give him a fresh start somewhere else. Like, build around Anthony Edwards. It's not working. Just get the pieces you can get for him while you can.
Yeah. All right. So I got a few quick questions, and then I got a few funny things on the way out. Quick questions in terms of NFL offseason takes that I'm trying to get in before my offseason ends. I just want to know, where do you think Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and J.J. Watt will be starting this upcoming NFL season?
I say Russell Wilson doesn't move. See, I haven't been following it all too much. J.J. Watt, I mean, I know I've heard, like, Packers, Bears, Steelers, that kind of stuff. I guess I guess if I have to pick, I'll just say the Steelers with his brother.
All right, respectable. So you'd be proud of me. The other day we did, or yeah, yesterday. I don't know why I said the other day, because it was yesterday. We did the pod or whatever, and I've been, you know, getting, I got my new computer I told you about, trying to figure out all that. I posted the pod from my new computer, so I'm all set to go. Don't have to worry about all the bullshit with posting the pods.
Let's go forward,
just needed to throw that in there.
Is that
real
a Segi Station shirt, too, or what are you wearing for a shirt?
Well, no, I wish. It's a good game shirt that I'm going to go wear later and kick my brother's ass, and Smikes and Dukes are going to play some golf.
Oh,
it'll be
virtual
fun.
Golf, yeah, right.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll do that, and then I'll probably be around. I'll be on the sticks, hopefully chew in tomorrow. Let's see, I have two last things here. So, you know how I feel about coming to America, too? Today is March 1st. Apparently, this is the month that's supposed to come out. I don't know who has Prime Video. I don't know if you do or any of my listeners do. But if you do, please hit me up so I can come over and watch Coming to America 2. Rich, are you as pumped about Coming to America 2 as me? I don't know how you're not.
Bro, I'm not going to lie. I've never in my once even heard of that movie, 2 or 1, and just looked it up while you were saying that. I've literally never heard of that in my entire life.
You might never be allowed on my pod again. Rich, are you are you at least pumped up about this Tom and Jerry movie that I saw and heard Keyshawn Johnson talking about? Because I love Tom and Jerry, and I'm trying to see that, too. You trying to go see that?
Damn, Coming to America came out in 1988, the first one.
Yeah, bro, it's a fucking classic.
I had never even heard of that. Yeah, Tom and Jerry movie should be pretty sick. I haven't seen Tom and Jerry in some time. I'd literally never heard of Coming to America.
I literally am so mad. Tom and Jerry is going to be so awesome, bro. I want to see that too pretty bad. Lastly, okay, did you at least check out my post today?
Yeah.
Scroll all the way to the last page.
I will redo it now. I looked through them, but I don't remember what it was.
One, two, or three.
Let's see what we got here.
If you say any other answer than two, you are not allowed back on this pod.
Oh, yeah, it's obviously two. I mean, like, I couldn't tell you. I know at work we have, like, when I was at work, I work at Indeed in the fridge, we have, like, the cans of the Seagrams, and that's a little worse than the Canada Dry, but between the Schweppes and the Canada Dry, I feel like I can't really tell the difference, but I would take number two if I was picking myself.
Good to hear it. At least one check mark back on the pod list here. All right, brother. Good catching up today. Glad we got to do it. I'll let you know. I'll let you know what's good. Chewy said he's gonna come by like tomorrow mid afternoon after the gym. So if you're around or not working or if not, hey, thanks for catching up on sports with me this off season. Obviously, you know I'm not doing as much, and you coming by, spending some time talking sports has been fire.
My job's changing up a bit come April anyway, so I've been like chilling with the same accounts for a long time, and I'll actually have some new accounts, so probably have to actually work more instead of like doing podcasts during the day. So perfect timing for you to go back to work, but we'll still get some in on your off days.
Yeah, for sure. We're all good. I'm glad. I asked you this before, I think, of when you might be heading back to at least a little bit at the office.
Oh, that's not till September, but this is more just like they're shuffling like the accounts we work, and I've worked with the same people for so long that there's really no point in me calling them all the time now, because like I know them, I talk to them, I'm just bugging them if I call them all the time, but they're going to give me like a bunch of new accounts and basically change up like the people we're working with, so I have to kind of work it from scratch, work a little more instead of just like, you know, chilling and sitting around from home, but it's all good. Give me something to do, I guess.
Word. It's fire news. Once again, thanks for always catching up with me on sports, and I'll catch up with you as soon as I can.
For sure. I'll talk to you later, bro. Thanks for having me on.
All right, peace, kid.
Peace, man.
Rich, hot takes. Gonna take a quick break. Got a few solo rips to get through, and I'll be out of here. Be right back in the Segi Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Segi Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household by a love of companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, town, or nursery. saved their life, and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. First day of Women's History Month. Celebrate women. Most importantly, all the people that I know related to me and all the women that I know in my life have been nothing but the most intelligent, motivational, hardworking, talented, all these amazing things. Celebrate women always. You got OSU Oklahoma tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN after an overtime thriller. Back-to-back games for those teams tonight. Cade Cunningham, 42 points and 11 rebounds in overtime game last week. Irv Cross passed away at the age of 81. Mentioned it a little bit earlier. Former Pro Bowler, first full-time black sports analyst. Originally with the original NFL Today. Black Lives Matter, black careers should matter as well. Shout out to Irv Cross. Giannis averaging 37-plus points on a five-game win streak after they took down the Clippers yesterday, who went stone cold in the fourth quarter. Talked about Colin Morikawa picking up the victory at the WGC Workaday. Various players paying tribute to my guy, Tiger Woods. In other news, Bronny James has suffered a torn meniscus, which is reportedly season-ending. The Giants want to keep Leonard Williams and Dalvin Thompson, who celebrated his birthday yesterday as well, but it will be fairly expensive. We'll see if the Giants are able to pull that off. Obi Toppin in the dunk contest. I got him there. Josh Gordon return to football. The fan-controlled football league with Johnny Manziel in the Zappers. Lakers signed Damian Jones to a 10-day contract. Tobias Harris, right knee contusion, no structural damage. Domantas Sabonis will earn a $1.3 million bonus for being selected to the All-Star game, per Bobby Marks. Russ is opening a school in L.A. The Why Not Academy will empower middle school and high school students in and out of the classroom. Shout out to my guy Russ, who's doing things on and off the basketball court. The NCAA has announced that a bill has been introduced that would allow for endorsements for players. Mentioned the WNBA celebrating their 25th season in 2021. The arena, was honoring and shouting out women in sports this past week. Been plugging the arena on TNT Thursday nights prior to NBA tip-off. No replacements once the NCAA tournament begins. Selection Sunday, March 14th. As also news out of the WNBA, the league approved sale of the Atlanta Dream, which is great news if you are a fan of equality. Tune back in. Nick Seguin here, Segi Station Podcast. Glad to get Rich back on today. Appreciate all love and support, as always, for the podcast. You can follow along on my Twitter or Instagram page at Segi Station. Also got a live version up on my Twitch stream. It's _Segi_G. And out on Podbean, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Got a few solo rips I wanted to get through today before I head on out of here. Much love, like I mentioned, for Rich coming through to talk a little NBA. Been covering a lot of NBA recently as NBA and college hoops really cranking up here over the next few weeks with, obviously, March Madness as well, which has been just around the corner here now with March 1st officially here. So just exciting as a hoops fan to see everything going on in hoops. Did need to get in this recording heading off the reeds a little bit to touch on this.
Same guy who said when he was back in Sweden.
LeBron James, athletes, all these individuals with a platform, sports talk analysts with a platform, should never just shut up and dribble, should never not be able to say and feel out any of their opinions and views, values, things that they believe in. And LeBron James having to deal with more people coming at him about that at this stage of the game and where we are today in society, to me, is just crazy. Everything that has gone on with Colin Kaepernick, and then obviously this past year with the uprise of more social justice and social injustice that we see. It's just crazy, all these stories that come up in sports, and LeBron James continues to handle it with such high class, also with his play on the basketball court recently, as well as 18 years in the league, not something to let up on. Did want to touch real quick on some off-season predictions that I had before my off-season ends. First one I'll touch on is Russell Wilson. I think Rich said it best. I don't think Russell Wilson is going anywhere. All these rumors, all these talks, would be great to see Russell Wilson in some of these other scenarios. Of course it would. I see Russell Wilson a Seahawk. I see Russell Wilson in a situation where the grass isn't always greener, and what he's got in Seattle is pretty damn good, along with the weapons, the coach, the defense, his running game. Obviously, the offensive line needs work with the amount of times he's been hit, and obviously he's frustrated because of that. I think the Seahawks will address that. I think the Seahawks understand that, and I think Seahawks also understand that Russell Wilson is their guy. Going forward, Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of these rumors to the Saints, to the Bears, teams, players on those teams, using their social media to try and entice Russell Wilson. I see a lot of members of the Seattle Seahawks saying this man ain't going anywhere. And that was what my original prediction was, and I'm going to stick to it. I think Russell Wilson remains on the Seattle Seahawks. Looking at a couple of the other players on the market, I think it's interesting to see where Deshaun Watson ends up. I'm not so sure he'll end up anywhere, though. I think this situation is just getting uglier and uglier by the day. Obviously, it's covered a ton. NFL offseason activities will be, and the Deshaun Watson story leads that headline. But I think the Houston Texans should have traded him already. Like, they could have gotten more, and I think hearing now that his value is going to decrease, and the longer this goes on, the value will go down, is absolutely valid because it's going to get to a point where there might not even be an opening at quarterback spot for any team. There's only so many of these. And all these rumors surrounding, obviously, Deshaun Watson and places he could go, Miami, Dallas, the Jets, the Bears, there's all kinds of spots. The Niners, I mean, the Broncos, my original pick for him to go, which could get ugly. I think this could get real ugly in terms of what we see from now, having Deshaun Watson having to sit out. Because if the Texans don't move him and Deshaun Watson says that's what he's going to do, then that's what's going to happen if he's not going to play for the Houston Texans, because he's under contract for the Houston Texans. And if they haven't moved him yet, I'm not so sure what makes me think they're going to want to move him come a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now. NFL draft time has his value goes down by the day. J.J. Watt is a very interesting one for me. Rumor on multiple teams being interested. Would love him to be in a Giants uniform. I think what the Giants are doing on the defensive side of the ball is underlooked, and adding a piece like J.J. Watt would be incredible. I'm going to keep my hopes up on that. But I do think if he doesn't end up there, the most interesting one for me would be the Bills. But I also did tell the boys that I think J.J. Watt would end up on the Bears based on the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell tweet, which a lot of people read into, obviously, and got over 17,000 likes or whatever it was. Very interesting with J.J. Watt. Obviously has connections to the Steelers, like Rich mentioned, his pick with his brother. Connections to Wisconsin and Green Bay with the Packers. Connections with a couple other organizations. And obviously he's out in Houston after a long time at Hall of Fame career in Houston. So whoever lands J.J. Watt, obviously is getting a guy on the back end of his career, but is getting a guy who definitely can contribute at a front end of a defensive line. Praying it's the Giants, hoping that it's the Bills. J.J. Watt definitely going to be a contributor, in my opinion, of a playoff team come this season in the NFL. Just a matter of where he decides to go. But definitely, certainly one I'll be trying to follow over the next few weeks or so. March 9th, I believe, is the deadline to place a franchise tag on players. I think it's March 9th. I always mix up these dates because I'm doing so many different things across different sports. But I believe it's March 9th, in which then you have until the middle of July to secure a long-term deal. Situation with the franchise tag in the NFL. Situation that's been swirling around Dak Prescott and Dallas Cowboys in a long-term deal for what seems to be 3 to 4 years now. It's basically been two seasons. Let's just be realistic here. A lot of the things swirling around Dak Prescott, the Cowboys would be in whirlwind of trouble if they don't get Dak Prescott as their quarterback this year, unless they're trading like a guy like Russell Wilson, which I don't think they will, unless they trade for a guy like Deshaun Watson, which is I don't think they will. Dak Prescott most likely gets tagged, I would assume, this week. What goes on or transpires beyond that, up in the air, but I assume Dak Prescott is going to have to do what he had to do last year, which is go out. He can prove he can play now after having an injury, after having to go out last year and proving he had to play under first-year head coach Mike McCarthy and show he's an elite franchise-caliber quarterback. The stuff around Dak Prescott is interesting because I don't know where you'd rank Dak Prescott in terms of ranking him all throughout the league, but I do think he's important enough to Dallas and that franchise and what they would not be without him going forward if they can at least get him back in the locker room this season. I assume Dak Prescott will be a Dallas Cowboy franchise tagged by Jerry. Good old Jerry. Jerry Jones. I saw this, which I think is interesting. Which team would be better off with this player retiring? Big Ben or their quarterback retiring? Big Ben in the Pittsburgh Steelers or Drew Brees in the New Orleans Saints? Two quarterback carousel stories that we wait to hear about. Big Ben reportedly going to be back with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a restructured deal. Drew Brees hasn't made an official announcement on his retirement, has videos of him training and working out there. Both QBs, in my opinion, should both be retired, but if I had to choose one, I think Drew Brees has a little bit more to give than Big Ben. I think you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and you're absolutely sold your soul on this situation with Big Ben, and going forward, this season is going to be tough for you. Same situation similarly, I guess, to with the New Orleans Saints with how the season ended for you last year, but heading into this season, if Drew Brees is remotely healthy, I assume he can give you more than what he did in that game if he wasn't, but if that's the whole thing, why are we still hanging on to something that we could be known as damaged goods? I think with Jameis Winston, I think with some of these other guys that could be on the market to bring into a Sean Payton-hyped offense would be something to see, as much as we all love seeing these vintage guys like Drew Brees, Big Ben, Tom Brady. They don't last forever. And Tom Brady got hyped up because of a lot of what he had around him, including his defense. And I think these aging quarterbacks tend to forget that when they go out there and try and act like they're 25. Big Ben, Drew Brees, both of them got to go. But looks like Big Ben will be back. Looks like Drew Brees will be back potentially as well, which is something we didn't even think would be a thing. Obviously, how it ended 3 weeks ago and 3-4 weeks ago, and how obviously his statements were after the game. Let's see. Touched on all that, so I did want to touch on a few other things here real quick. Need to touch on those Giants, because I do think the Giants are getting slept on. I do think, based on what I've been seeing the Giants doing and a lot of these rumors that I've been seeing with potentially adding a guy like Curtis Samuel, who's also on the Washington football team's radar, I hope there's other guys potentially maybe in that conversation with maybe Kenny Galladay, and obviously attacking and getting Daniel Jones, this man, some weapons in the draft. Love the defense. Love if we can bring back those guys that I mentioned in the read, like on the defense, like Leonard Williams and Dalvin Thompson. Jabril Pepper has been great. Blake Martinez has been an unbelievable transaction for us. And along with James Bradbury, who was a Pro Bowler, and you got to give get him a credit for. Defense is great and upcoming, and what Joe Judge has been doing over there with culture and a lot of the offseason little thing stories that I see about it, particularly the firing of Mark Colombo during the season, some of his incredible quotes on players, particularly the one with Graham Gano, in which he talks about he better open the window. Cincinnati doesn't have a dome. I don't know what the hell he thinks he's accomplishing in there when he was kicking indoors. Just absolutely hilarious stuff that I like to see as a fan. My coach of my team talking about with his players and setting that culture with his players. Get Daniel Jones some weapons. Get Saquon Barkley back. Have this defense looking like it was last year. I think the New York Giants are absolutely slept on in this division. And this offseason has been super quiet, which I love, heading into now some few weeks before the draft, a month or so. Hopefully we get a solid wide receiver in that draft and some notable free agent acquisitions, hopefully Curtis Samuel, the latest in those rumors. Here's a good one. So if Saquon Barkley isn't comeback player of the year, which I think he will be, probably a little bit biased. Here's another biased one for you. If it's not him, I think it's going to be Odell Beckham Jr. He's continued to remind us, obviously, that players with at least 6,800 receiving yards and 50 receiving touchdowns in their first 80 career games, the only person to do that is Odell Beckham Jr. You go back and look at this man when he came into the league in some of his stats, in which his first 27 games, he had 187 receptions, 2,755 yards, 25 touchdowns, 102 yards per game. His next 45 games, 277 receiving yards, 3,756 yards, 23 touchdowns, 78.3 yards per game. Injuries suck. The situation this past season with Cleveland was blown out of proportion, with Baker Mayfield basically looking better without Odell Beckham Jr. But let's just be real here. No QB is going to look better without Odell Beckham Jr., regardless if he goes back to Cleveland or if he gets signed by one of these other teams, hopefully not the Buccaneers. Odell Beckham Jr. will be OBJ, will contribute, will be a top 5-10 wide receiver in this league, and will put up numbers to be potentially comeback player of the year in this league. Watch out for OBJ. Watch out for Saquon. Comebacks are real for those two. Also reportedly working out during their comeback together. Both their futures, in my opinion, bright, even though one would say OBJ is potentially on the back half of his career. I do think he's going to perform really well somewhere. Who I don't think is going to perform really well somewhere is Cam Newton. Talked a little bit about Cam Newton and his viral video. Talked a little bit about Cam Newton and his situation with the Patriots, in which there's a lot of reports, including from Cam Newton, talking about him basically returning now, done deal to the Patriots. Also on a podcast, Cam Newton still says he's an NFL star because, quote, there's not 32 guys better than me. Well, when you go and look at the situation here in regards to Cam Newton and comparing guys in the league, Cam Newton's basically a 25 to 30 guy when you go and look at the numbers in terms of starters this past season in the league. Granted, obviously, the Patriots didn't have a lot of weapons, COVID, everything that you can bring up for excuses for the Patriots, opt-outs, I get it. Cam Newton didn't look great. Cam Newton, to me, does look a little bit past his prime, in which Cam Newton is more of a running-style quarterback, not the stationary drop-back passer that we've grown to love, move around, make throws on the run. He's moving around to run. Cam Newton, design runs, incredible at it. And absolutely won some games, more games than I thought he would for the Patriots this year doing it. But is that really the style and the way Bill Belichick wants to play this upcoming year, getting back a lot of those opt-outs? Is that giving the Patriots the best chance to compete in this division again, potentially win this division again, and make a playoff run? I'm not sure. I'm not so sure. Because I was saying, hey, if Cam Newton winds up on the Washington football team, a lot of reports reporting to the, pointing to that based on the fact that he had a connection, obviously, with Ron Rivera in his time with the Panthers. As a Giants fan, I would have been hyped as hell to see that. Phew. Covered a lot of the stuff today. Chew hopefully coming through tomorrow for some MLB updates. MLB spring training, I believe, is underway. College hoops, as I mentioned, are really cranking up, and you'll have some games tonight. NBA obviously floating really good with a few more days until the All-Star break, in which the All-Star game, all festivities will be March 7th, which I believe is this Sunday, a few days off prior, in which the NBA will return for its second half of its NBA schedule Wednesday of next week. That's about all I had all for the list today in terms of topics to get through. Running out of time here on the monthly subscription for the StreamYard. So I'll get out of here with a few more bursts and say, first off, thank you to everybody, as I mentioned and said multiple times here on the podcast, but just for all the love and support this winter, as tomorrow I'll probably hopefully get one in, but I will be heading back to work this week. So the podcast definitely does take a back burner, back to the weekly take guy when it comes to the sports world, doing it just about once a week, maybe twice a week, as much as I can. But obviously back to my full-time job. The sports and the podcasting dream takes a back seat, but getting a shout out from Jay Will, growing and changing my Instagram page, seeing and following some guys like Daniel Artest, who's Ron Artest's brother on Twitter, getting some inspiration and kickbacks from friends, old roommates, underground friends, my brother's friends, strangers. All the support has really meant a lot to me. Hopefully trying to keep things rocking with the podcast, like I mentioned, at least once a week. Trying to keep the sports takes flowing. Really enjoy what I'm doing with the podcast and all that it's brought to me in my life with everything that's happened in my life. It is pretty sweet. Officially made it through 1 year of podcasting. As much as I would have all these other inspirations and things to get out of the podcast, I've gotten many things out of it that I never thought I would, and for that I'm very grateful. For the things I'm trying to do now, with obviously keeping guests coming on the podcast, keeping all the platforms going with the posts, but also being out there trying to get my Twitch followers up, trying to get stickers distributed to supporters of the podcast, which I hopefully should have this week. It's been all a process for sure, and the journey is only created because of my support cast, from not only people supporting my podcast, but people who have come on my podcast, people that listen to my podcast, and I owe a lot of that gratitude to you. So just wanted to shout you all out before I get out of here for the day. Need to shout out Tiger before I get out of here for the day. I really hope I can see Tiger Woods play professional golf again. I'm not so sure that'll happen, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he will. Definitely don't think he'll ever have the opportunity to win a PGA Tour event again, but it will be great to see him compete on the tour. Just obviously a long road for recovery. Obviously the tribute from the tour players and us golf professionals. As I go back to work this week, I'll be wearing my Tiger red on my first day. Seeing his love for the fans and seeing how he's going to get through this next upcoming obstacle in his life will only be motivation for somebody like me who's been trying to get through multiple obstacles in their life. In his life. So yeah, it's been a tough week in the sport. Looking forward to covering the sports as I get back to work. Tough week for the podcast, obviously, with that news, but looking forward to keeping everything going. Looking forward to always being able to catch up with a couple of my friends here, and if not, coming in with the solo sports takes, knowing that there's just a few, if not more, people there that want it to be out there. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. Me, Chew, and the sports. You listen to Seggy Station.